Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I am Mercedes, and I'm the lead singer and guitar player of Soft Cult.
Hey, I'm Phoenix, and I play drums and sing in Soft Cult.
Okay, so I can ask this just because it's fun. So when your parents were thinking of names, and they said, well, we'll name our daughters Mercedes and Phoenix. Do you know the stories behind it? Have you ever asked?
We know what we were going to be if we were boys.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Yeah. I was going to be Forest, and Phoenix was going to be River. Yeah. And another weird, trippy thing is we were both born on Halloween, and we were born the day that River Phoenix passed away. And Phoenix was going to be named River if they were a boy. And it's like the Phoenix rising from the ashes, maybe reincarnated.
I like the way she's shaking. You're telling, I love this. I love the dynamic already because you're telling the story. And if this was video and she's going.
I don't know if you like the story or.
I don't think
you
like.
It's just a weird one.
So there you are. You're in Kitchener. Now, remind me how that's right. Because I know that I have lots of, being that I went to Montreal a ton when I was a kid, I have a lot of 45s that the label was located. There's like a couple of Toronto suburbs.
Oh, yeah.
And Kitchener is one of them.
You know Kitchener?
I don't know Kitchener. You're about to tell me. Because how far is that out? How far suburbia is that from Toronto, from Bloor Street?
Can no traffic, probably an hour.
Okay, so
there's
that's
always
kind of
traffic.
I was born in New York City, but I used to hop the bus when I was way, way, way too young to the dangerous Port Authority bus terminal. My parents let me do it, though. They just knew I was smart enough. And, you know, and I'd go see a ton of shows. So was that your growing up?
Sort of. I mean, we were surrounded by music, for sure. And there was a pretty vibrant music scene back then when we were kids, or like teenagers. So we would always go out to shows locally, and then play a lot of shows locally too. But it was mostly like hardcore and punk, and we weren't really represented in that scene, to be quite honest. Like, it was mostly kind of our guy friends and bands, and it was all like on the heavier side of things.
Did you feel like outsiders from moment one?
Definitely. I feel like we've always kind of felt like that a little bit, and maybe it's just being like, you know, female in the industry, or just being kind of twins. And
how serious were you early on about, okay, we're going to try to make a career in music? Music? Really?
I don't know. Like, I think like we started, obviously it was like for fun. Like, we just, all our friends were in bands. And so we started a band and we're just playing shows with our friends. And then we met our managers, who I guess they're still our managers today, and they were kind of the ones that were like, you know, like, I guess, I don't know, they kind of said, you guys could do this more professionally, and we're like, well, okay, sounds cool. So we've just been working with them for, like, since our old band to this day. Now they're managing our new band, and so, yeah, I think meeting them was kind of the thing that made us take it a bit more seriously and realize, like, oh, yeah, we could actually try to make this a career. And then, yeah, we got signed, like, with our old band, we got signed when we were, I don't even know, like 17 or something. So yeah, we kind of, like, as teenagers, were touring around and like taking it a bit more seriously. And then it, you know, like, there were good times of that, but bad times also. But I think it all like taught us a lot. And so now, as like 20, you know, in our 20s, you know, late 20s doing this band, it feels like we learned a lot from when we were teenagers. So it's kind of like an interesting path, I guess.
Nobody, I can't find this, formal training.
That was a cool thing about our childhood, was our parents were very supportive of just creativity early on. So, you know, and both of them being teachers, like having a background in teaching, they didn't, and being more hippie, as we've talked about, they didn't really care about like growing up a certain way or educating a certain way. They homeschooled us so that we could pursue music, which was really cool.
Wow.
You know how there's kind of like two types of homeschoolers? I feel like it's either like really cool, kind of open-minded parents like ours, or it's like really rigidly religious parents that kind of shelter kids from anything but the secular
Right, the
world.
Homeschooling is purely to filter out yeah. all the things that could be dangerous to your existence.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's creepy.
Which is not our experience at all. I just want to put that out there.
No, but that could be creepy.
Oh, yeah. Very. Yeah. And that's everything that we kind of stand against for sure. But they, from very young age, put us in music lessons. So, and they let cool. us try a bunch of different instruments, and we just kind of gravitated to the ones that we play now.
Here we go. You got your dream pop, you got your shoegaze, you got your riot girl.
I guess when we go into it, we know that lyrically, I think for starters, lyrically it's going to be social or political. Like that's just kind of the vibe of our band. We just try and write about issues that are important to us. So already from the get-go, no matter the song, that's kind of the mentality that we go into it with. And then in terms of like aesthetic, you know, you were mentioning dream pop, shoegaze, riot girl. We love those layers of sound and, you know, creating sort of like ambience, I guess, or like atmospheric stuff, but then also wall of sound. I don't know. Ooh. You're the producer. How would you?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think like a lot of our vibe is often like loud guitars and loud drums, but soft vocals. And I think that's kind of like a big thing with those genres like shoegaze and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, just like dynamically, we like that contrast, I think. And then yeah, like I think a lot of the time when people are talking to us about our sound and we have to try to describe it, we try to say like, you know, like the lyrics are a little bit more, I guess, like intense sometimes. So sometimes you have to yell to be heard, and sometimes you can whisper and be heard. Like people kind of have to lean in and listen a little harder if you're not really like screaming all the time.
You don't want to be a Warped Tour band.
Yeah.
I love that, because you know what? There may be two or three bands on the Warped Tour that I would listen to. But that's a brave thing to put out there when you want people to pay attention to your music. Right?
I feel like you get it. There is a very, like, it's alternative, but the Warped Tour band or sound is its own thing. And it's not to diss it. Like, I know that it's a very adolescent kind of, you know, raw, rebellious sound, which is cool. But it's become sort of almost cheapened, in our opinion, by some of the bands in that scene. They're, like, the way that they treat their fans. Almost the like performance of it all, the like inner beef of like these metalcore bands. You
inner
know what
beef,
I mean?
By the way, is a band that should be playing the Warped Tour.
There we go. Yeah, inner
we're
beef
inner,
is
we're
a great
inner
band name.
Beef, and our new song is Steak and Eggs.
That's good. Yeah, and not to diss it, because we came up through that scene, like, and we listened to all those bands when we were teenagers. So yeah, not to diss Warped Tour or anything, but I think we've seen a side of it, and like people our age that used to listen to those bands, listening to some of those lyrics now, it's like shit, like misogynistic as fuck. And I hope, sorry, I should have asked if I can swear, I guess.
The answer is I know how to cut out that word in Pro Tools better than any
there
human
you go.
Being on the face of the earth.
There you go.
Being, you know, related, being who you are, but being separate human beings.
I think it's like we've just been so close our whole lives, right? And I can't really imagine making music with anyone else. Like we've tried, but it just doesn't click the same way. There's like that chemistry and almost like a I think even outside of just a creative level, we've almost got sort of like, it's definitely not like a psychic ability or anything, like we can't read each other's minds, but we're just so close that I think we're on the same page always, and that's a really valuable thing to have with a creative partner, you know. And even just being on tour, like I love going on tour with Phoenix, and I love being able to travel and see cool things together, and I feel like being in bands together, we would be really close anyways, but we get to share these moments and memories as siblings and as bandmates.
But how hard is that for finding partners for things other than
oh, God.
When you two are so close? Yeah. and someone comes into your life. How interesting is that?
It's like been a struggle, but when you find the right people, you are so lucky. But I'm not going to lie, our whole lives, it's kind of been an ongoing theme.
Yeah, and it's like sometimes people don't understand, but yeah, when you do find someone that does understand and like sees you for you, I think that's the person you keep around. But yeah, it's hard. I can understand, like, it's probably intimidating and like not the norm to have like siblings be that close, but also we're twins and like get over it, you know,
like. When did you know you knew how to write, as I know about the formal training, but songs is what I call them, hooks, bridges, all that sort of stuff?
What makes a song great, you know, I think it's the ability to connect. And if someone can't relate to it, they're not going to feel connected to it. So structurally, you know, I appreciate well-crafted songwriting, but I think the main goal always is to relate it back to yourself. Like, if you write from your point of view, I guess realizing that if you can relate to it, a lot of other people will be able to relate to it. So not trying to shoot for this target, like, oh, I want this song to be relatable. It's more like, do I relate to it? Does this hit home for me? And if it does, I know that I'm not that unique that no one else will get it. Like, a lot of other people will get it if I truly relate to it. So I guess that's where it comes from.
I think also, yeah, like authenticity, that's the thing about really great songs. And I think people can tell when something's manufactured, like if something's kind of fake or put on, people can tell. And so, yeah, I think just like the writers and the artists that are like truly authentic are the ones that have staying power, you know, and those songs are the ones that people gravitate to. Because, yeah, I don't know, people just like authenticity, I think.
Getting not only the messages you want to get out into the world, but getting it out of you so you can actually be happy in a world where things are absolutely positively stranger than ever. And yes, we all had the pandemic at various levels of reality, but I'm sitting with the two of you and I'm not feeling two very angry women. How do you get that out there, you know, and get the level of catharsis you want while also doing what you're here to do, which is attract an audience?
I guess the thing is, like, yeah, there is a message, there is, and there even is a lot of anger and frustration in what we do, but I think it's important to direct that anger where it counts. Like, for example, sitting here and kind of, you know, berating you for things because you're a man or whatever, it's not going to get us anywhere, or even just this message we're trying to
get across. I might actually say you're right. So there you go.
It's like, I think that's a big misconception about just like feminism or like Riot Girl. You know, it just wasn't intersectional enough, I guess, where we're trying to bring in allies and trying to really just like appeal to people like, hey, this is what it's like. Can you see things from my perspective? Instead of constantly like it is important to call people out on their bad behavior, but it's also important to appeal to people's, you know, humanity as well. And so I guess the catharsis of it is like we write about real things that have happened to us and that we've experienced and that people we know have experienced, but it's not supposed to be this like holier than thou stance of like, look how awful you are. It's more like we could all be better and let's all try and do this together, you know, not like in a cheesy way, but in like, if we really want to get this done and we want like gender equality and for gender violence to stop, it's not just one group of people's battle, it's everyone's battle.
You know, people are listening. So does that make you feel like, ooh, we picked the right path, we picked a good path?
I think so. Like, it's kind of crazy because, yeah, like you said already, like we were in another band and we'd been at that band for way longer. And there was a lot of like hurdles and stuff that kind of got in our way. But we never really reached the point that we have with this band.
Which is funny. Yeah. Because that other band, we were really trying to appeal to everyone, I think, more than this band.
Yeah.
And now with this band, we're kind of like, well, we're just going to do our thing. And then, surprise, it's a lot more, you know, appealing because people can relate to it more because we're not trying to appeal to everyone.
Yeah, exactly. It goes back to that like authenticity thing that I was saying. I think it's like, you know, for whatever reason, in the project we were in before, we couldn't really be as authentically ourselves as we are now. And you can chalk that up to a lot of things. But in this band, I think, yeah, like we really weren't trying to, we weren't shooting for like, oh, we got to make a radio friendly song, or like we weren't shooting for any of those things. And then it's kind of like, yeah, people.
Probably best thing that ever happened, by the way.
Yeah, for
that
real.
You weren't trying to get, what's the focus track?
Exactly. Right? Yeah, just all those things. It's like once you start trying to figure that stuff out, you just will never, ever find it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. I don't know how to answer that question, really. But I think it is just kind of like, just be yourself, as lame as that sounds. Like.
I have invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside. And then in between, you get to play anything you want.